Good morning, Lillamit, and welcome to another day of live broadcasting here on CHLS 100.5 FM. My name is Jeff O'Kelly. This program is Snooze Button, and I'll be with you until 9 o'clock. I thought I had a sneeze coming on, but I'm happy to say just before I turned the microphone on, it went away. So good timing, excellent timing. We started this morning with music by Antonio Vivaldi, as we not infrequently do here on Snooze Button. We heard a concerto for two violins in the key of A minor that comes from the set of 12 concertos, Opus 3 by Vivaldi, known as L'Estro Armonico, the harmonic inspiration. And that was a recording featuring Genevieve Gilardeau and Jean Lemon on violins. And Jean Lemon was also directing the Tafel Music Baroque Ensemble. We'll come back and hear them in the two remaining movements of that concerto in a few minutes. Right now, though, it is time for weather and road reports. Yesterday, 13.2 was our low. The high made it up to 32.7. As of 7 a.m., the temperature was at 14 degrees. It is expected to get considerably warmer today. Environment Canada says sunny, wind from the south at 30 kilometers per hour, gusting to 50 near noon. Excuse me. A high today of 37. And take note, if you're going to be spending a good portion of the day outside, the UV index at 8, which is very high. Tonight, clear, wind from the south at 30, gusting to 50, becoming light near midnight, a low tonight of 17 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny, wind from the south at 30 kilometers per hour in the morning, a high tomorrow of 38. Wednesday, sunny, a low of 17, a high of 36. Thursday, sunny, a low of 17, a high of 37. And at this point, Friday, predicted to be sunny with a low of 18 and a high of 37. So we are in for another relative scorcher, not quite as bad as it was a couple of weeks ago, but still very much on the very warm side. So a good thing we did have that big hit of rain last week. Taking a look at conditions across the country and around the province, right now in St. John's, Newfoundland, it is 23 degrees and mostly cloudy. Montreal has light rain at 18 degrees, Toronto 15 with light rain, Iqaluit is mainly sunny and 8 degrees, and Winnipeg 17 and partly cloudy, Regina is mainly sunny and 16. Yellowknife 20 degrees and smoky, Edmonton is sunny and 19, Calgary 14 and partly cloudy. In Whitehorse, it's mostly cloudy and 10 degrees. Prince George, 13 and cloudy. A little closer to home, Clinton, sunny and 8. Hope, 17 and sunny. Kamloops, sunny and 17. 11 degrees in Pemberton, and I think we can presume sunny. And in Vancouver, it is mainly sunny and 17 degrees. And on the highways, just a couple of notes. Highway 40, these are very familiar notes by now. Let me just check here. Oh, actually, there is a different one, another one for Highway 40 that I missed here. So, Highway 40, watch for reduced lane width between Gold Bridge and Mission Dam through 11 a.m. today. Okay? I think there was a mudslide up that area, wasn't there last week? That's what it's about. Also on Highway 40, of course, the construction between 12 and 16 kilometers west of Lillooet, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., running through September 15th with single lane alternating traffic. And then on Highway 99 south, the construction from 14 to 28 kilometers south of Lillooet, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday. That runs through September 15th and single lane alternating traffic there. And that is all I have for you. Very light on the roads today, anyway. So let's go back to Antonio Vivaldi. This set of 12 concertos, some of them are for one violin, some are for two violins, and there is at least one which is for four violins. The Wikipedia article says they were written in 1711. I think that might be the year in which they were published, but I could be off on that. I think it's conceivable they could have been published in that year, with Vivaldi having been born around 1675, if I recall correctly. I think he was about 10 years older than Bach. And it's appropriate to bring in the name of Bach here, because Bach was very fond, apparently, of this set of 12 concertos. He arranged two of them, two of them as organ solos, and another two or three as solos for harpsichord. And then the one for four violins, he arranged that for four harpsichords and strings. So he seems to have thought fairly well of it. This concerto in A minor for two violins, I believe, is one of the ones that he arranged for organ, and I think I have a recording of that at home, so I might try and dig that out and play it one of these days. Anyway, let's go back. Two more movements remaining. The second movement, Larghetto e Spiritoso. Largo means broadly. Larghetto means broadly, but not quite as broadly as largo would, and of course spiritoso, spiritual. And then the concluding movement is marked allegro. We hear once again Genevieve Gillardot and Jean Lamont on violins and the Tafel Music Baroque Ensemble. Thank you. That was music by Antonio Vivaldi. We've been listening to the second and third movements that come from his concerto in A minor for two violins and strings. And that recording featured Geneviève Gilardeau and Jean Lemond playing the violins. And Jean Lemond was also directing the Tafel Music Baroque Ensemble. As I mentioned earlier, in that set of 12 concertos, that comes from the Opus 3 by Vivaldi. Some of the concertos for one violin, some for two, and some for four. Some of them also include, not as important, but still necessary solo parts for cello. So with that set of 12 concertos, the Opus 3, you can pick, I don't know, any three or four concertos in sequence and listen to them in the way that Vivaldi has arranged them, so that you don't always have you don't have, say, all the one violin concertos grouped together and all the two violin concertos grouped together. They're scattered throughout. So, as I say, listening to three or four of these in sequence makes for quite a nicely varied listening experience, and I've discovered that I think more highly of Vivaldi. I mean, I've always liked the Four Seasons, and I've never disliked any of his music, but I've been just discovering lots of wonderful little touches in it that are pleasing me enormously, which is why you're hearing so much of it here on Snooze Button. And by the way, if you want to hear more of that Opus 3, for that matter, if you want to hear more of anything by any Baroque composer, you need only go to YouTube and type in what it is you're looking for, and you will find probably many, many different recordings of it. It's amazing to me how much music, classical music, is out there on YouTube, and Baroque seems to be very popular with many people, a lot of it put up for student study purposes and that sort of thing. Okay, it's 8:18. Let me tell you what's coming up today on Radio Lullawet. When Snooze Button wraps up, I'll leave you with music from the Folk World Reggae List playlist. Later today, Democracy Now! From 3 until 4 p.m., country music after that. At 6 p.m., it is Science for the People. Tonight's show is called Coffee and Cigarettes. It says here, this week we're learning about some of the legal chemicals that regulate the moods of millions of people every day. Journalist Murray Carpenter joins us to talk about his book, Caffeinated, How Our Daily Habit Helps, Hurts, and Hooks Us. And science blogger Dr. David Gorski explains the state of research on the effects of e-cigarettes. So if you are a coffee drinker or a smoker or somebody that's hooked on some other legal chemical, this might be a good one for you to listen to. That program comes to us from radio station CJSR at the University of Alberta in Edmonton. It is a really fun and interesting show, so I urge you to give it a try. And that will be followed, that's at 6 to 7, and that will be followed at 7 p.m. with more country music. And if you'd like to check the details of the schedule, you can go to our website, radiolillowet.ca. You'll find the schedule, many of our shows posted in podcast form, so you can listen to them at your convenience, and information about our broadcasters, and also a link to live streaming Radio Lillowet. We better do a fire report here. I'm happy to say it's good news. The only one I'm going to talk about is the 3-kilometer Botany Road fire. That's the one, the only one in our really even quasi-immediate area. The most recent update I have here on the bcwildfire.ca website is from yesterday around noon. Excuse me. At that point, the size of the fire still listed as about 1,400 hectares, status active, but now 50% contained. I think on Friday morning it was to 25% contained. Let's see, the evacuation order and also the evacuation alerts. All of those issued by the Thompson-Nicola Regional District have now been completely lifted. The evacuation order, I believe, had been pretty much lifted by Friday of last week, and the evacuation alert was lifted at 8 p.m. yesterday evening. So great news on that fire. And I think that's all I have to tell you on the fire reports. I'm going with fairly light kind of music in the first half of the show. The second half isn't going to be especially heavy, but it's going to be some music by Gustav Mahler, who some people think of as heavy. In fact, it's a pretty light piece we've got by Mahler here. But right now we're going to turn to Mozart and hear one of his quartets for flute and strings. Mozart was commissioned to write these pieces by an amateur flutist, a wealthy amateur flutist whose first name I can't remember. His last name was Dijon. And there's a letter from Mozart to his father. This was when he was about 20 or 21 years old, in which he complains about this commission and says that he doesn't really like writing for the flute anyway and that sort of thing. But if you read between the lines, it seems to me more likely that Mozart, while he was glad to get the commission, he felt that it wasn't enough money he was getting paid for it. And I'm not sure that he really cared for Dijon that much. And also, Mozart didn't like really writing for amateurs unless they were exceedingly talented amateurs. So I think all of those factors may have gone to contribute towards creating the impression and towards even causing him to say that he didn't like the flute that much. I've read quite a lot of Mozart's letters, and I can easily see a 21-year-old Mozart being in a somewhat petulant mood and saying I don't like the flute, rather than saying I don't like this guy, I think I should get paid more, and I don't think he's a very good flutist. Anyway, the music he came up with is thoroughly charming, and I think I wouldn't say necessarily some of Mozart's best chamber music, but definitely some of his most immediately attractive chamber pieces. The combination of flute and strings just worked particularly well. In two of the quartets, the three quartets that Mozart wrote for Dijon, he makes fairly serious demands on the flutist, and I don't know if he knew how good Dijon was or wasn't. I'm still inclined to think that Mozart may have been writing music a little bit beyond Dijon's abilities on purpose, just to kind of tick him off a bit. But with this particular quartet we're going to hear, it's a very shortish piece. It's in two movements and only less than 12 minutes long. In this one, Mozart kept the virtuosic demands for the flute a little bit more modest, I think. And so we have what we have is a very unbalanced sort of quartet with about an 8-minute slow movement or slowish movement, an andante, I believe. And then that is followed by a minuet, which is only a little bit faster, that's much shorter, about 3 minutes long. Anyway, very attractive piece, and should make a nice contrast to Mahler coming up after it. Let's listen to this recording with Jean-Claude Gérard playing the flute and members of the Ensemble Via Musica. a very modest ending to that little minuet. Oh, I just have to change the balance here. Excuse me a moment. Okay, that's a little better. That CD that we were just listening to is exceptionally poorly balanced. I don't know if that's a artifact of bad manufacturing or if it was something that was actually done in the recording or if it was even done on purpose. I hope not. Anyway, I had to readjust the channels to get a better balance between it, and then now I've got to readjust them again, so we're back to normal. We listened to the Flute Quartet in G major, just a two-movement work by Mozart, and that recording featured Jean-Claude Gérard on the flute with the members of the Ensemble Via Musica playing the strings. It is 8:36, and time for some public service announcements. Just before we do that, a short item from the Huffington Post Canadian edition I wanted to mention to you. The headline reads, Toronto Maple Leafs disappoint man even after his death. I had to look. I just had to look. And I'm not even a big hockey fan, but I enjoy jokes about the Toronto Maple Leafs, not because I have anything against them, just because some people have been pretty creative. And this guy is no different. Terry Siebert, a man from Hamilton who died a week ago today. In the obituary that was printed in, I guess it was a Hamilton paper, though I'm not sure. They don't say which paper. The last line reads, quote, it was Terry's last wish that his pallbearers be the Toronto Maple Leafs so they could let him down one last time, unquote. That's pretty good. I think very well done. Okay, I just have a couple of public service announcements. We have information about the next hike put on by the Rec Center. August 7th, which will be, I think, Thursday of next week, but I'm going to have to check Friday of next week. No, Friday of this week. What am I? No, sorry. It is Thursday of next week. I was right. I'm mixing up the 1st and the 7th here. So Thursday of next week, August 7th, day hike to Holbrook Peak. This is listed as a difficult hike. I think that rating is from the Lillooet Hiking Guide, but I'm not 100% certain. The cost is the drop-in fee, or if you have a rec center membership, it is otherwise free for you. And the hike will be led by Wayne Robinson. This is just a one-day hike, and there's still one more hike to come after that, August 18th to 22nd, south backpacking trip into the South Chilcotins. And the cost for that, it's obviously a multi-day trip, cost would be $120. That includes all food. Space is limited for that, but a minimum of 8 registered participants are required in order for any of these hikes to proceed. So if you'd like more information or would like to register for either of those hikes, get in touch with the Rec Center at 250-256-7527. Lillooet Lions have their 21st annual fishing derby coming Sunday, August the 10th. That will be 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. At Pavilion Lake, of course. $20 to enter if you're an early bird, $25 on derby day. Grand prize, $500 for the longest fish, courtesy of the EM and FJ Heath Memorial Fund, donated by Ann Heath. Draw prize is a 15-minute scenic helicopter trip for 4, courtesy of Blackcomb Aviation. 30-minute flight for 2, courtesy of Lion Chris Strube. And dinner in paradise for 4, courtesy of the Lillooet Lions Club. Tickets are available at Winter's Edge in Lillooet, from the Stein Valley People's Pharmacy in Lytton, and from Lion Inez Lopez in Cache Creek. Her number is 250-453-9809. You can also get tickets from Ann at the Farmer's Market on Friday mornings. If you'd like more information, contact Lion John Brooks at 250-256-7025, and I will in the future start giving the names of many of the sponsors and promoters of that event. Okay, it's 8:39. We are going to carry on. Just had those couple of public service announcements this morning. I promised you Mahler. Mahler we shall have. Mahler seems to have had kind of stories, or if you will, spiritual journeys in mind, programs these are usually referred to, behind probably most of his symphonies. But fairly early on, he learned to keep those programs, those stories to himself, because when he put them out there for the audience tended to focus too much on the story and not enough on the music itself, or they focused on how well they thought the music fit the story rather than how well the music hung together in its on its own rights. Mahler was not writing music to illustrate stories, but he so the programs that he assigned to some of the early symphonies, they are almost, but not quite, but almost afterthoughts. Anyway, after a couple or three symphonies where he did release the programs to the public, thinking that it would help with their understanding and improve the increase the accessibility of the pieces, he decided not to release those programs anymore. I think that there probably was a story behind the Symphony No. 4 in G major. I don't know what the story is, and Mahler never released it, so we can't say for sure. There's a hint to be given from the last movement, which is actually a song for voice and orchestra. It's called, article correct in German, but Himmlische Leben, the heavenly life. And it portrays sort of a child's vision of life in heaven. It's really quite a wonderful and gentle and almost naive character to it. And so there's something of that that is found particularly in the first and third movements of the symphony, as well as the fourth. The second is a little more sinister in character, but it's the first movement that we're going to hear, and it really does kind of set the tone for the whole piece. It's a very friendly sounding piece, this, on the whole, this particular movement. It seems to be find Mahler in a rather jovial mood. The marking is bedächtig, nicht eilen, which means moderately and not rushed. And we're going to listen to a great recording here with the Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra, with Raphael Kubelik conducting. I think we heard some Mahler from them last week, and I was enjoying it a great deal at that time, and still am. And the way they play this Mahler with a sense of joy and fun is absolutely perfect for the first movement of this symphony. So here goes.
Thank you.
Well, we just had a CD problem come up. I don't know exactly what happened there with the CD player, but and I'm not sure how many minutes in we were. I'll try and figure that out and do my best to pick up where we left off. I think we were about 7 minutes in, so give me a moment to sort things out here. Well, this is probably sacrilege to do. I should technically go back to the beginning of the movement and start over, but that would just take us way too long. So I'm picking it up with, let's see, I guess we've got about 8.5 minutes to go here in the movement, hopefully close to where we were when the CD stopped working.
Thank you.
I'm sorry about the technical problems that intruded on that recording of the first movement of Symphony No. 4 by Gustav Mahler. Because of that, this will definitely not be the only time that I ever play that movement here on Snooze Button. I will bring it in again, though not in any time in the near future. I just think it's such a wonderful, it puts me in a good mood, that music. We heard the Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra. The conductor was Raphael Kubelik. There's a wonderful moment, by the way, in that movement where there is a brief, what seems like a brief quotation from another Mahler symphony. And I really kind of only twigged on this yesterday. I had been aware of it for a long time, but I thought it through kind of to its logical conclusion yesterday. Because what you hear is a passage, and this is in the fourth symphony, you hear a brief passage in that first movement that seems like it comes out of the fifth symphony by Mahler, and definitely they were written at different times, I think a year apart. So in fact, either Mahler was doing some long-range planning and putting in a little theme, it only occurs once that I can recall in this movement, putting in a little theme in this symphony that he knew he was going to use when he wrote his next symphony, or maybe he just put it in, and then when it came time to write his next symphony, he thought, you know, I like that little bit that I used in the fourth symphony, maybe I'll take that. But it occurs to me that I'm not aware of any other composer having ever done that, picked up on something from, say, a previous symphony for their following symphony. It'd be interesting to see a composer who would do that with a number of symphonies in a row. All right, what are we at? 9:01, and we're going to definitely do, I think, two encores today. These are pieces that I've been meaning to sneak in and some of as encores for a while, and they make a great contrast to Mahler. Although the music is from only maybe 30 years or so, about 30 years earlier than the Mahler. We're going to hear two of the Slavonic dances by Antonín Dvořák. He wrote these pieces for piano duet. Later on, they were orchestrated, but it's the piano versions we're going to hear, which I still think are the most fun. And we're going to listen to a recording that comes from the early 1960s. Features two pianists who are particularly well known for their playing of Mozart, Walter Kleene and Alfred Brendel. This recording, when they were both still fairly young men. Alfred Brendel especially went on to a very big career, huge career. Walter Kleene had a good career, but I don't think he ever had a recording contract with any of the major recording companies, and so he has remained a little bit more in obscurity. But the two of them played absolutely magnificently in these recordings, although the piano they are playing is a little bit clattery and the sound quality isn't everything that could be desired, but they just find so much fun in the music. So we'll hear Slavonic Dance Opus from the. There are two books of Slavonic dances. From the first book, we'll hear number 5 in A major and number 8 in G minor. That one in G minor is one of those pieces that I like to point out every now and then that proves that just because something is in a minor key doesn't mean it isn't fun.